It's just us today. I know that this is Memorial Day weekend, and I thank you for your faithfulness. I know a lot of folks are traveling, and so we're going to have a good time this morning just being together. This is Family Sunday as well, and so we've got everybody in here together. So I know, parents, how you're feeling right now. I'm going to be brief today. We're going to get through this together. We're going to endure, and I'll let you guys get out of here and go get something to eat. Is that a game plan? All right. Sounds good. All right. How many of you guys are hungry right now? All right. I'm with you. I feel your pain. So let's dive in. The title of our message today is God is Always Good. And I want to just pause here for a second because this message is extremely important. Some of you right now, things are going great in your life. And there are going to come times where life is going to get difficult. Life may get shaky. We just watched this quick video about God is there when we face pain. And maybe you feel overwhelmed right now. Maybe you feel like you're there. You're in the midst of that. And that's why, as we're going to take a look today from God's Word, it's good to know that even in pain, even in suffering, God is good. And so you may say, well, how is that, Matt? How do we know that? Well, we're going to go to God's Word, and we're going to take a look at that. So I want to begin here today because I think a lot of times when we talk about God being good, sometimes in our vocabulary, I think there are specific words that we use that sometimes we say things without really thinking about the meaning or the context behind it. And I believe when we use the word good, we often do that. And here's what I mean by that, because even in my own life, I've said things like this: man, that steak was so good. Right? And some of you are there, you're like, man, you're talking about food this morning. You know, we've all said these things at times, you know, man, my kids were so good today. Or they weren't really good today. Let me tell you where you can go online to get a really good deal. Or guys, you say this, man, that player on that team is doing really good this year. We just say that word sometimes without thinking about the meaning behind it. And here's the reason why I point this out, because what happens then is when we read God's Word, and we understand this principle that God is good, what's meant to happen inside us doesn't always happen, right? Listen to these words from Scripture, and I have these on the screen today, and so I want us to look at these. If you want to turn there, that's great, but I want us to see this. And really, these are some things that Jake just read a great Scripture about: the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. So look at this. Psalm 73:1, it says, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. What about this next one? Psalms 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I think we have one more here. Mark 10:18, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. Now, we've all heard verses like this. Maybe we're familiar with these. When I was a kid growing up, I went to Awana, and some of these verses I memorized in Awana. And some of us, we have sang songs about the goodness of God, right? And yet, I think so easily what happens is that in the busyness of life, in the crazy storms of life, we often forget about God's goodness. Here's why. Because I think that so often what happens is when we walk through life, we can so easily walk through life without a sense of gratitude and a sense of thankfulness. We try and go out, and I know I do this in my own life, try and go out and handle things on my own. I try to handle situations and relationships. And so often it comes across as an attitude of entitlement, even selfishness. instead of looking to God, my Creator. And so what happens is generally there are several problems if we have this mindset that actually comes up in our lives. The first problem is this. The first problem that comes up often is that we are not looking to God. We get so busy. We get so selfish. We are busy focusing on ourselves. We can also get busy, how many of us do this, looking at other people's lives. Right? You're like, well, maybe your problem's not yourself, but what we do is we focus on other people and how they look and what they're saying on Facebook and all the places that they're going, and we compare ourselves to them, and man, that's so easy. We forget that God is with us, church. We forget that the God of this universe is with us. His very presence, Scripture tells us, that He stands beside us. As Wes talked about last week, He hears our prayers. How awesome is that? That we can go to God any time of day. God, man, I'm struggling here. I need You. I'm desperate. I'm in despair. I need You. And God hears us. A.W. Tozer once prayed this, "O God and Father, I repent of my sinful preoccupation with the visible things of this life. The world has been too much with me. Thou hast been here and I knew it not. And I have been blind to Thee and to Thy presence. And so open my eyes that I may behold Thee in and around me. For Christ's sake, amen." It was a prayer of desperation, a prayer of God, I've been blinded to You, and the reality of it, you're there all the time. And yet, how often is this exactly what's happening in our own lives? God has been there, and yet we forget His presence. We forget that even this, we can call out to Him, and He hears us, He answers us, and He knows what we're going through. And the second problem is this. So often, something that can arise in our own lives is this, that we can sink into despair. How many times does that happen in our lives? We sink into despair. Despair is never a good thing. The dictionary defines despair as destitute of positive expectations. If you find yourself in despair, oftentimes you can't see anything good around you. You can't see anything good in the future. You will look at your life and wonder, how in the world is anything ever going to get any better? How in the world can my life improve? Despair is this. Your focus will be in the dark things of life. And hope will seem to have gone out the window. And maybe that's where you're at right now. Let me just say this. Church, we need hope. And we need to zero in on the goodness of God. Listen to this other quote by A.W. Tozer. He said this, "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." That's how awesome God is. That's how wonderful God is. And yet, here's the question. How can we trust in the goodness of God? Well, I want to jump right in. And I want to answer some of these questions, and I want us to look at this from Scripture. Here's the first thing. God shows us His goodness in all that He is and all that He does. Have you ever stopped to realize the nature, the character of God? I think a lot of times we focus on, and man, I'm a guy, and I am so guilty of this. I can tell you a lot of statistics about sports. I can get up here and tell you, man, guess what? In the grand scheme of things, who cares about that? What matters is this. God has provided for me countless times. God has heard my prayers. God is a good God. God is by nature good. And let me just say this. He cannot stop being what He is. He always does what is right. And we know this to be true because ultimately God gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth and he gave his life for us so that someday we may have eternal life. If you want to hear good news today, that's it. It's not that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl in 2021, okay? Even though some of you be like, finally. Okay? It's not that tomorrow you could wake up and somebody could put a check in your mailbox for $1 million, okay? You may say, well, that just will lead to more problems. Here's the best news of all. Jesus Christ died for our sin. That's the game changer. And when we understand that, when we understand what God has done for us, this is the best example that we have to know. God cares for us. He loves us. Doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter how many failures you have in your life. When you understand this principle of what God has done, it changes everything. He gave us a perfect gift, and God is so good. Now, we also know this. This is important, and I want to stress this today, but we also know that God is holy, and he is separated from all evil. And that may seem hard to understand, God's goodness, because apart from God, apart from him, we wouldn't know goodness. The scripture tells us this, that we fall extremely short. We fall extremely short. In fact, Paul tells us this in Romans, that we're all sinners. There's no one that is good. And that's hard to get sometimes. You're like, man, I've done some pretty good things. I'm a pretty good guy. And so then we hear the scriptures like this, there's no one good. No, not one. Even our good intentions, there is sin. However, the intentions and motives of the Lord are free of sin. Everything that the Lord created was good. God did not create evil and sin. However, let me just say this. He does allow it for his good purposes. And so truly, God is good in every possible way. Here are just a few things. God is good in. He is righteous. What does that mean, Matt? God acts rightly in all of his works and judgments. Let me just say that again because it's important that we get this today. God acts rightly in all of his works and judgments. Now, I know that that may seem a little weird to us today because some of you are like, man, it seems like our world is just getting more evil and more sinful. And why isn't God just meting this out, his judgment upon the earth? Someday it's going to come. Someday it will happen. And so we have to trust him in the here and the now. God is righteous. He is infinitely wise. I've met some very wise people in my lifetime, you know, and I'll look at them, oh, man, these guys are so wise, and they're just brilliant. Let me just say this. They have nothing on God. He is infinitely wise. He is infinitely loving. What that means is his love is unconditional. Sometimes our love is conditional, right? And we have limits with that. And there are certain times that we're like, well, I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to forgive them. God's love is unconditional. Aren't we thankful for that? It's his nature. He is all powerful. Scripture tells us this, that he can move the mountains and he can calm the storms. What amazing power God has. He shows us his grace every day. Grace is God's unlimited kindness towards us, his people, regardless of what we actually deserve. Wow. Man, that's so amazing. God is faithful. Faithfulness characterizes God's loyalty to his covenant people. In other words, God is trustworthy and his words are true, church. We can count on them. His promises are true. We're learning about that. God is faithful. God is a God of provision. Let me just say this. God provides exactly what we need, and He doesn't always give us what we want. And sometimes there are things in our minds, man, I really want this, God, and we begin to pray for it, and God's like, no, that's not what I have for you. If you were to have that, it may lead to some sinful things, to some hurtful things in your life. But guess what? God provides exactly what we need. And let's trust Him with those things. God is a God of provision. He's also a God of mercy. What that means is this. It shows us that He is a God of compassion. We see this in the story of Lazarus. Jesus comes to the town of Bethany, and guess what? Lazarus is already dead, and Jesus begins to weep for his friend. He weeps. God is a God of compassion. And we see that throughout Scripture. Something also we need to know about God's nature is this, that God is sovereign. He is in control. God is in control of this universe. God is in control of the leaders of this universe. God is in control of the political realm. And so often it's easy for us to take a look at our world and go, what in the world is going on today? God is in control of your life. He is in control of the big things and the small things and all the things that are in between. God's nature is amazing. He is good. Here's the second thing that I want to give you. God's goodness leads us to repentance. So important that we understand that today as believers. God's goodness leads us, or should lead us, to repentance. As I mentioned just a moment ago, one of the most amazing things about God is this, church. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Son, Jesus. I learned that message when I was a little child in Sunday school. And I remember hearing that over and over again in Awanas and in Sunday school. And then when I went to VBS and I went off to camps, and I'm thankful for godly men and women who took time out of their busy lives and their schedules to teach me the love of Christ and to teach me what Jesus Christ did for me. But let me just say this. When we understand what Jesus has done for us, none of us deserves this wonderful gift. But nonetheless, God still gave us this wonderful gift, and He gives us to all mankind. God's great love and the excellence of the cross draws us, or should draw us, to repentance. In other words, what that means is, as we look at the cross and when we look at what Jesus has done, it should cause us to take a look at our own lives and say this, oh God, I am a sinner and I need Your grace. I need Your mercy and Your forgiveness because I fall short. In God's goodness, we see His patience towards us, and that should lead us to have a change of mind, a change of will, a change of emotions. It should cause us to take a look at ourselves and to take a look at our sin and to realize this, how messed up we really are. To realize none of us can save ourselves and how short we actually all fall. Let me just say this, church. We all desperately need a Savior. So through the goodness of God and the gift of Jesus, we can repent. We can wake up like the prodigal son, and he eventually woke up. He woke up in the pigsty, right? And this guy, man, he had spent all of his father's inheritance, and finally he wakes up one day and he goes, I want to go back to my father. My father would at least maybe consider me a hired servant and welcome me back. The son repented and he came back to his father. And we can too. It doesn't matter how bad our past is. It doesn't matter what we've done. If we confess our sin and we repent, we can have salvation. This is a wonderful picture of God's goodness. Romans 2:4 says this, or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. In the NIV version, the word kindness here is shown as goodness. And then this, 2 Peter 3:9, many of us are familiar with this scripture. Listen to this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. There it is. Here's God's promise. As some count slowness, but he is patient toward you. Aren't you glad today for that? God is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Let me just say this, church, as I think about my own life, God is so patient and kind. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Now that doesn't mean that people don't die every day and go to hell. We don't all understand that. But he gives people chances to come to him. And yet eventually, some continue to harden their heart. Some continue to live in lawlessness. Some continue to shake their fist at God and say, no, I'm going to keep living the way that I want to live. And there is no change, there's no repentance. And eventually the consequences of that are hell. My point in sharing this with us today is this. God's goodness should lead us to repentance. It should lead us to see our sin and say, I don't want to live that way any longer. I need to change. And with God's help and his goodness, and the gift of Jesus, we can turn to him. This is God's gracious gift. What an amazing thing it truly is. Now here's the third thing. Let me just give you this. This is so important. God's goodness should lead us to praise his name. And yet, how often, let me just, as believers, sometimes I feel like we can be so ungrateful. We can be and just so down and discouraged in our lives. And yet we have the goodness of God. We've been given this amazing gift and in that of Jesus Christ who died for our sin. And so this is just, let me just say this. This is my challenge to you as your pastor to say, man, let's be thankful. Let's praise the Lord. Let's look for occasions. Sure, I know that there are difficult things that happen into our lives. But we can also look to Christ. We can look to God and say, God, you have been so good. You've given me some kids. You've given me life. You've given me breath. God's goodness should lead us to praise his name. Here's just a few scriptures that I want to give you. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Do you believe that today, church? Yes. His steadfast love endures forever. Psalms 107, verse 1 backs this up. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Again, his steadfast love endures forever. The kings wrote about this. David wrote about it. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about it. So if we don't take one, you know, if one person didn't get it right, they all did. They all were just backing each other up because they saw the goodness of the Lord. They're like, man, David said it. The prophet Jeremiah, here's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 33:11, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. You see, throughout the Bible, we are given an invitation to praise the Lord for his goodness. This is what happens when we begin to praise the Lord. What we are doing is we are setting our focus on him. We're not focusing on ourselves. We're saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to put myself to the side for just a second, and I'm going to get my heart and my mind and my life focused on the Lord because he alone is good. He is worthy of my praise. So often, this is where I run into a little bit of trouble in my own life. So what happens is a lot of times when I'm praying, I just dive right into my petitions, and I want to give God all the things that I want Him to do for me, right? God, I really need You to heal these people. God, I really need You to be with this relationship because this is overwhelming and this person just wants to give up. God, I need You to help these people with these addictions. So often I'm just, God, I need You to help me here. I need You to do this. Instead of just taking a moment to praise the Lord and to thank Him for His goodness. And so I think that we can all learn for just a moment to be still, to think on God's goodness. And when we do this, we can learn to praise the Lord in all situations, for He is good. Matt Chandler, the pastor of the Village Church in Flower Mound, said this: "The greater your knowledge of the goodness and the grace of God on your life, the more likely you are to praise Him in the storms." That is so true. And when you've been in those storms, you realize, man, I got to lean into the Lord right now. I don't have anywhere else to go. I need to get close to the Lord because He is there and He is good. Here's the last thing that I want to just give you, and we're just going to wrap up, but think about this today. God shows us His goodness even in suffering. God shows us His goodness even in suffering. Did you know this? That God gives us Himself in suffering? Have you ever stopped to think about that? God gives of Himself in suffering. And here's why, because ultimately God gave us His Son, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21 tells us this: "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps." Now I understand some of you are already going like, "Well, Matt, I don't actually pray for suffering. Like, God, I just, you know, man, just go ahead and give it to me." And no, none of us do that. But because of what Christ has done for us, because Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, we too can endure. We too can go through those times knowing what Jesus has done for us. 1 Peter 4 verses 1 through 2 tell us this: "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh," here's what we're to do: "arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions," but here it is, "but for the will of God." Pain can make us more attentive to God's voice, at least it should, because God will give us a clear direction. We should lean unto Him. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion. He never has and He never will. Now I can take a look at my own life, and most of my suffering has involved some type of loss. When I was a young child, when I was younger, I lost my grandparents. I've lost friends. I've lost a job. I've lost possessions. I've been involved in a few car accidents and several health issues. But every time that I've gone through those things, I know this: that even though those things are not there, I can still find joy because God is still there for me. God is still there. So many times when I mention the fact that God is good, here's where our minds tend to drift. We tend to say, when we hear that statement, "God is good," our minds go here: "Yeah, but if God is so good, why do so many bad things happen, right?" If you've ever experienced any kind of loss or trauma, you know that the first question often asked is this: "Where are you, God? Where are you?" The question is not a new one. In fact, this is the one that generations of hurting people have asked and have addressed. And they have said and asked this, in the depths of their trials and tragedies. When life gets hard, it's no wonder that people tend to worry and people tend to drift into despair. We understand that. Here's why: because it can often feel like God is absent in our pain, or He's ignoring our cries, He's ignoring our pleas. And so when we experience hurt, we need to know exactly where God is as our hearts deal with the brokenness that we encounter this side of heaven. If you're in a place of asking that question right now, please hear me today. Here are some important reminders of where God is in the midst of your hurt. Here's the first one. I want you to write this down. God is near you in your hurt. Where's God at? God is near you. It is in the moments of our deepest wounds that God is closer than ever. King David understood this because King David was acquainted with grief and pain, which is why the words in Psalms 34:18 are so encouraging. Here's what King David wrote. Here's what he said. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So without the raising of hands, let me just ask this. How many of you are brokenhearted? How many of you have ever been brokenhearted? Yeah, all of our hands could go up. How many of you have ever been crushed in spirit? A lot of times we go through those trials and those struggles. Here's what we need to know today. The Lord is close. The Lord is near. I was talking to a young man a few weeks ago. We had lunch, and we were talking about his younger days. And he was telling me that when he was 12 years old, his brother died of brain cancer. His mom and dad were upstairs in the hospital room. He was outside, and he was just sitting there. And I said, how did you know God was good during that time? He's like, because God was there for me. When I prayed, I knew that God was there. I knew that He had a better plan for my brother. Yeah, I wish that my brother could be there with me, but I knew that he was having a lot better day in heaven. No more doctor visits, no more hospital rooms. He was in heaven with God. And so I had to lean into God and trust Him and know that He was there for me now and for my family. If God is feeling distant right now and you're hurt, remember this: God is with you. Scripture tells us He never leaves us nor forsakes us. God will always show up in our pain, and He will make Himself more real than ever before. And so what can we do? We can run to the Lord and get on our knees and seek Him. Open up your heart to Him and know this: God will comfort you. And Proverbs tells us this, that God will guide our steps. First of all, God is near you and near your hurt. Here's the second thing: God sees you in your hurt. God sees you in your hurt. Nothing can quite make us feel alone as going through a heartache. And it can be easy to think that no one understands us, even the Lord, or no one cares about what we are enduring day in and day out. So let me remind you today, one of the names of God. Here it is. And there are many names of God, but this is one of them. El Roi, the God who sees me. That's the name of God, the God who sees me. Psalms 56:8 tells us this, that God keeps track of our sorrows and He collects all of our tears. What an amazing verse that is today, church. God keeps track of all of our sorrows and He collects all of our tears. In other words, He records every pain that we have ever endured. And so in the middle of your hurt, God sees you. And every tear that streams down your face, He is aware of today. While it can feel like God is distant, when we are experiencing heartache, the truth is this: God stands beside us. He stands beside us like a father near a toddler learning to walk. I'll never forget when my daughter Jada was learning to walk. And as a dad and as parents, you know, the last thing that we want our children to do is to fall or hurt themselves. So we have to be right there by them, making sure that they don't trip or they don't, you know, just stutter a little bit and get tripped up. And that's the same thing that our Heavenly Father does with us. Even as adults, even as grandparents, guess what? He is right there beside you. He is always present. He's always ready and able to catch us when our steps are met with teetering. And so as you find yourself stumbling, maybe this week, maybe today in the dark, and the unexpected trials and tragedies, remember the truth of where God is at. He is in your heartache. He is right beside you. He is holding your hand. He is holding you in your pain and seeing all that you are enduring. Here's what I want us to know today. God is always good. His nature is good. He is good even in suffering, even in trials. And someday He's going to return for us. And we look forward to that day. In the meantime, we continue to endure. We continue to be faithful for the long haul. And we await Jesus. We await the day when we get to see Him face to face. And there's going to be no more tears or heartache. There's going to be no more stressful days. There's not going to be any more, man, I'm just so in despair, because Jesus will now be with us. And He is with us today. And let's trust Him. Let me just pray, and we're going to wrap up. We're going to take communion together today.